I want to talk to you about the divine banquet, embracing salvation's feast. We gather to honour and celebrate our Lord, our Almighty God. And it's proclaimed in Isaiah 25, verse 1, O Lord, I will honour and praise your name, for you are my God. You do such wonderful things. You planned them long ago, and now you have accomplished them. In this verse in Isaiah, we find a profound declaration of God's faithfulness and also his divine plan of salvation. Now, we know that plan has been fulfilled through Jesus Christ. But what I want us to do this morning is delve into the transformative truths that are embedded in this passage to draw us closer to our Heavenly Father, to draw us closer to our Lord. So first point, the sovereignty of God's plan. Isaiah 25, verse 1, which we just read. O Lord, I will honour and praise your name, for you are my God. You do such wonderful things, you planned them long ago, and now you have accomplished them. God's plans are not random. He doesn't have a plan B. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it didn't take God by surprise. He knew that if he had created human beings with free will, that they would turn against him, that they would choose to rebel. And yet out of his love for his creation, he gave us free will. He didn't make us mindless puppets. He didn't create us in such a way that we were so constrained that we would never be able to exercise our free will. God loves us. He cares for us. And even knowing that we would sin, his plan that was meticulously crafted from eternity fully dealt with the consequences of our sin. Proverbs 19:21 reinforces this, saying, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. I'm sure in your life, in my life, there have been times when you've planned to do something and for whatever reason, it didn't happen. And we can at times, I think, look at it negatively and think, well, if God truly loved me, he would have allowed me to fill in the gap. But actually, the truth is, because God loves us, sometimes he doesn't allow us to do that which appears right or acceptable in our sight. In every circumstance, in every situation, we will encounter God in our lives. And we can trust his sovereignty. We can trust and acknowledge that he has a divine plan. And yes, sometimes that divine plan will include our bad decisions, our bad choices. But God's plan supersedes anything that we could plan on our own. Supersedes any efforts that we could make because God is sovereign. Second point, the assurance of salvation. Isaiah 25, verse 9. In that day, the people will proclaim, this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord in whom we trusted. Let us rejoice in the salvation he brings. This verse was prophetically written to speak of the day when God's people would proclaim God's salvation. And this verse emphasizes the intimate relationship between trusting God and experiencing his deliverance. When we repent from our sins, when we place our trust in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, we're forgiven. We're eternally saved because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. It's all of grace, not of works. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. He saves us because he loves us. He saves us because we have accepted Jesus as Lord and as Saviour. What Jesus did at the cross has set us free. Set us free from the burden of our sins. Set us free from the punishment that we deserved. We are forgiven. And we are assured of a place in heaven because of what Christ has done for us. Psalm 37, verses 39 to 40. The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble. The Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them and they find shelter in him. This verse is reassuring, isn't it? It reassures us of God's faithfulness. It reassures us that God will rescue his people. This morning, we can rejoice in the assurance of our salvation. We can rejoice because we trust in God's protective care of our lives. Third point, the celebration of God's goodness. Isaiah 25, verses 6 to 8. In Jerusalem, the Lord of heaven's armies will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. It will be a delicious banquet with clear, well-aged wine and choice meat. Then he will remove the cloud of gloom, the shadow of death that hangs over the earth. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. This is a beautiful picture of a joyous feast. It symbolizes the spiritual blessings that believers experience in God's presence. When we come to the communion table, we will not have well-aged wine or choice meat. We simply have bread and juice. But they are symbols that remind us of our Lord's body that was broken for us, his blood that was shed for the payment of our sins. For us, communion is not a time of gloom. It's a time of celebration. It is a banquet, a divine banquet. It's an opportunity for us to rejoice together at what God has done for us. And yes, one day we will experience physical death, the physical death of our mortal bodies. But we don't need to fear the shadow of death that approaches us. If we're in Christ, if we know Jesus as our Lord and our Saviour, when we die, then we'll enter into the presence of God. We will be with him forever. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? One day we will be with our Lord forever. No pain, no suffering, none of the cares that we experience in this world. Because we will be able to have constant communion with the one who loves us, with the one who set us free, with the one who was willing to purchase our salvation by the brokenness of his body, by the blood that he shed. Revelation 19, verse 9, and the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. Over the course of our lives, we've been blessed by being invited to weddings. I've had the privilege of actually conducting weddings. But when we're wed to our Lord forever, that will be unlike any wedding that we've ever experienced. That perfect union, purchased in his blood. Revelation 19:9 foreshadows the ultimate union between Christ and his church at the wedding feast of the Lamb. If you know anything about earthly weddings, you know that as much as the bride and groom would like to invite everyone they possibly can to the wedding, logistics means they have to reduce and restrict the guest list. God's guest list isn't restricted. It's open to all who will believe and trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. That weird uncle that you had to invite to your wedding, if he knows the Lord, he'll be with you in heaven. That person that you left off the guest list because, oh gosh, they're really irritating and you don't want to inflict them on the other guests. That person, if they know the Lord, they will be transformed when they get to glory. And instead of not wanting to be with them, you will praise them together, our Lord, our Saviour. Together we will worship him. One mind, one accord. Holy, holy, holy is what we'll say. But the invitation to the wedding banquet is something that we're meant to accept now. When we get to heaven, it will be too late to choose. The choices that we make here on earth, that's what makes the difference about where we will spend eternity. The invitation is open to all, but we need to accept that invitation. And we might think, as many do, oh, I can put that off. I don't have to do that right now. I'll get this thing right in my life first. I'll get that thing right in my life first. There's so much I want to do first. But we don't know when God will call us home. We shouldn't put off till tomorrow that which we should do today. Because if this evening we step into eternity, we need to know where we're going. We need to know that we can celebrate the goodness of God in his presence rather than spend eternity away from him. I wonder, when was the last time you shared the invitation to celebrate God's goodness with someone that you know? When was the last time you took the opportunity to actually share something of your testimony, of your faith, of your trust in Jesus as your Lord and your Saviour? See, the passages we've explored this morning, they affirm God's sovereignty, they affirm his faithfulness, they affirm the salvation that is available free to all who will believe and trust. But God has called us to actually go into the world, to go into our families, our workplaces, our neighbourhoods, to share the truth of who he is. These truths are not something that we're meant to keep to ourselves. There's something that we're meant to share. And we honour and praise the name of Jesus the most when we actually share the truth of who he is with others. We've already trusted in his sovereign will. We've already rejoiced in the assurance of our salvation. We eagerly anticipate the time when we will step into eternity because we know that's not the end. That's simply the beginning of the time we will truly praise our Lord and Saviour face to face. But that's all knowledge that needs to do more than just transform our lives. It needs to do more than just fill us with gratitude. Yes, we're hopeful. Yes, we have joy as we walk in faith, as we walk obediently to our Father's will and purpose for our lives. But we need to share the truth of who he is with others. And friends, when we come to the communion table, we need to remember that we don't go to the communion table alone. We come together as family. And Jesus himself makes everlasting intercession to our Heavenly Father on our behalf. Everlasting intercession, Hebrews 7 verse 25 reveals this. Therefore he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. This verse simply declares Christ's ability to save, Christ's ability to intercede for his people. It affirms his ability to save those who come to God through him. We can find assurance knowing that the Eternal One, our Lord, our Saviour, that the work is already finished. He's already paid the price for our salvation. From eternity, God chose to save us because he loves us. John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Christ's death secures our salvation. Christ's death assures us of eternal life. We are already blessed with the greatest gift we could ever receive. Yet there are times that we worry. There are times that we fall short. There are times when fear grips us. But we need to know that God is always with us. We are secure. We are safe. Romans chapter 8 verse 34 says this. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honour at God's right hand, pleading for us. We have an ongoing advocacy that Christ makes for us. We're assured of his relentless love. We're assured of his relentless commitment to us. Do we trust him as much as we should? I think at times we do, but there's also those times when we perhaps think that his intercessory ministry for us has somehow stopped. But this verse is clear. He hears our prayers. He advocates on our behalf. And we can be transformed by the assurance of Christ's saving grace. We can be transformed by the assurance of knowing that he cares for us. We can be transformed by the assurance of knowing that he has already paid the price for our sin. We can be transformed and we can be the people that God has called us to be when we fully place our trust in him. Are you filled with gratitude because of what Christ has done for you? Are you thankful for the unmerited gift that he has already given to you? Do you walk in the confidence of his promises? Do you know the assurance, the blessing that Jesus is with you every day? It's my prayer, it's my hope that we would live transformed lives, transformed by the truth of who Christ is, and that we would boldly proclaim his love, his mercy, and his grace to those that we come in contact with. We need to surrender our lives to him, just as he was willing to surrender his life on the cross, that we could be set free and that others may experience the joy of salvation as they come to the divine banquet for themselves.